Flexibility in leadership really allows more people to succeed. Mm-hmm. When you have really strict rules and you have people coming from different backgrounds, what's going to end up happening is only like a select few people are going to be able to succeed or even have a shot at something. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, like it's like, well, you can get a PhD if you're not a mother, right? If you're inflexible. But then if there's flexibility, you start allowing that opportunity more for women.
Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo, whether you are stepping into leadership or you've been a leader and want to step up your game. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I'm visiting with Dr. Morgan Bell, and she's going to talk about the consequences of not being a flexible leader. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this interview to visit with Morgan Bell. Morgan, welcome.
Thank you. I'm super excited too.
I am really tickled to talk about this topic with you, especially given some of the major life changes you've had as a leader. And that topic is consequences of not being a flexible leader. So I'm anxious to kind of pick your brain on this. So let me tell y'all a little bit about Morgan. Morgan Bell is an assistant professor of marketing in the Marriott School of Business at Brigham Young University. Morgan has a PhD in marketing from Drexel University, an MS in economics from Purdue University, and a BS in economics from Brigham Young University. Her research focuses on using causal inference techniques and Bayesian statistics. Did I say that right?
So causal inference and Bayesian statistics, yes.
Okay. To study brand equity, retail media, and customer loyalty. She loves helping students develop their critical thinking skills and understand causality. Morgan loves spending time with her two daughters and going to the beach. Now, she doesn't live by the beach anymore. She made a major change.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put my personal introduction in here. I have known Morgan since she was a pre-teenager.
Yeah. For a long time. Yeah.
And I've watched you grow up and this amazing life that you're experiencing and leading. And so I've just been so tickled and couldn't wait to visit with you, Morgan. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So if you would, you've had a lot of interesting education and journey, but if you would just kind of tell us about your journey.
Yeah. So like you said, yeah, I've done education basically for the past 10 years, you know, post high school. I did my bachelor's degree, master's degree, PhD. So I've just been in school. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally kind of in the workforce, which for me is actually still in school as a professor. So.
Yeah.
And I started as an econ major at BYU. And I was actually one of the only females in a lot of my classes. Mm-hmm. So I was really interested in your podcast and thinking about interrupting, like, kind of, yeah, the status quo. Like, it was male dominated in the econ major. Sometimes there'd be a couple other girls. Sometimes I'd be the only girl in class. And during that time, out of all my econ professors, I actually only had one female professor.
Oh, wow.
The whole time. So yeah, it was just very male dominated, especially at BYU. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I ended up deciding that I wanted to pursue that as my career. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know if I would have thought that was even like possible. Mm-hmm. For me, or thought about it as a woman and like as a future mother if I hadn't had her as a professor. So she's really been a role model for me. Mm-hmm. And so I did my master's degree after my bachelor's while my husband was actually finishing his bachelor's degree. And then I decided to get my PhD at Drexel University, specifically to work with my advisor, Ellie Feit. Mm-hmm. She is also a mother and she has an amazing academic career. And I knew that she was someone who, again, could kind of be a role model and a mentor for me. Mm-hmm. And someone who would understand, yeah, women in leadership roles and women trying to pursue this career.
That's so cool and so interesting. I'm interested in this comment that you made with regard to your bio, causal inference technique. So what do you mean by that?
So it's causal inference techniques. Yes. And basically causal inference is trying to find causal effects, mm-hmm, with data that's collected outside of an experiment. So typically in an experiment, you're using randomization because you want to find a causal effect. So what's the effect of X on Y? But there's actually tons of data in the world all around us in which we could learn a lot, but it hasn't been randomized, right? There's no experiment. Mm-hmm. We just have the data post whatever's happened. So causal inference basically tries to take that data, and there's different techniques you can use to kind of tease out that causal effect to learn ideally what you would learn with an experiment, but with the data that's been collected already.
Data. Wow, very fascinating. And, you know, data is such an important part of what's happening now. And to sit back and look and review. So that, yeah, that's, and that kind of ties into being a flexible leader too, and making that shift and that change. So why is being flexible, being a flexible leader, even important? Or is it?
I think it is important. And I don't think I realized how important until my PhD. Mm-hmm. And one, watching my advisor be really flexible with me, because I actually had two kids during my PhD, which, as you can imagine, is very unusual. So I had my first daughter right kind of after COVID hit. I was pregnant with her, and that worked really well for me, actually, because the world became a lot more flexible. Mm-hmm. At that time. Sure. And I was pregnant, and I was able to do work from home, and we had remote classes, which they never did before. Mm-hmm. And then I had my second daughter during my fourth year of my PhD. And like I said, one of the reasons I wanted to go to Drexel in the first place was to work with Ellie, but she was just extremely willing to work with me in this like unique situation. Mm-hmm. And I thought so many times, I don't know that I would have gotten this degree if I wasn't working with her here.
Yeah.
Because I know there would have been so many other advisors who wouldn't have been flexible and wouldn't have been able to work with me. And there's a good chance it would have been too much. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have dropped out. So I think the flexibility in leadership really allows more people to succeed. Mm-hmm. When you have really strict rules and you have people coming from different backgrounds, what's going to end up happening is only like a select few people are going to be able to succeed or even have a shot at something. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, like it's like, well, you can get a PhD if you're not a mother, mm-hmm. right? If you're inflexible. But then if there's flexibility, you start allowing that opportunity more for women.
Yeah, that's really powerful. You know, you just, in your description there, you just kind of laid out the importance of both mentors and sponsors and how critical that is in lifting women to higher opportunities and better opportunities. So that is really phenomenal. And it makes me reflect many decades ago about some women that were really powerful for me and that believed in me and saw that potential in me. And that's just really important. So that's important to then to, you know, pay it forward, right? And
yeah,
for others. And where,
yeah,
so that, you know, your daughters will have that opportunity, even better opportunities. So yeah, that's great.
Definitely. Yeah, I had some experiences in the first semester of my PhD where I started having all these health problems and I couldn't go into campus all the time for my classes. And, you know, I had to reach out to the university and you set up this whole like benefit with them to talk to your professors for you. And I think having experiences like that, like having my own experiences, helped me realize why you have to be flexible and what people might be going through, and you really have no idea. And I don't know if without that, and honestly without having kids, if I would have had as much empathy for my students, because now I can imagine some of the things they might be going through. And there's so many more things that I can't even imagine that they could be going through too.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I love, and I appreciate you bringing that out. So how have you been able to practice flexibility? I mean, you talked about kind of these changes that you had to, but what is maybe that has been the key for you to, you know, instead of throwing your hands up, you know, to be able to move forward?
Yeah, exactly like you said. I feel like what happened was at first flexibility was like forced upon me. It was like, you have to be flexible or this just isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, I think a lot of us learn in that way. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of tried to then, like I said, once, you know, I've had these experiences, especially, and I started teaching classes in my PhD, mm-hmm. to try to have that flexibility with my students and try to have, you know, homework policies that were flexible and fair, and that would allow them to, you know, resubmit their homework late and still get credit for those types of things, because life happens.
Sure. Now, you know, that you bring up a good point with regard to, you know, seeing that that are fair. So when does flexibility get perhaps abused, if you will, and determining that fairness, right, of being fair and being flexible, or am I being too flexible, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's a huge concern for me as a professor, is if I am too flexible, you know, will I be taken advantage of?
Sure.
And will students recognize that? So I do worry about that a lot. So I think it's really hard to find like the line there between flexible and still having respect, like as a leader. And I also think about one thing I was thinking about with my students is what kind of leaders and bosses they're going to have after they graduate, right? Mm-hmm. Because if they're inflexible, but I've been very flexible, then have they learned to meet deadlines?
And
are they going to be able to keep that job if they're not used to having some hard deadlines and such? So I think it's also difficult, like you said, to think about fairness, right? Because if every single thing is on a case-by-case basis, mm-hmm. it becomes like a very difficult task for me to decide, you know, who gets what sort of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that could end up overtaking your whole job. As a professor, just constant emails of, I had this happen or I had that happen, and you're just sorting through all that. So I feel like there does have to be some kind of like rules and guidelines, mm-hmm. especially in a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like empathy and compassion and also built-in flexibility,
mm-hmm.
I think is great. So rather than having all the hard rules up front, and then like I said, each case you have to figure out the flexibility. If you kind of set some flexibility into the schedule where, hey, you can submit 3 homework assignments late.
Mm-hmm.
Like I put the flexibility in there, and you're going to choose which 3 life situations were the worst where you need to submit your homework late. I think that can help and maybe make it a little more fair too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Visiting with Morgan, we'll be back in just a minute. As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC training programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC training programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training. Welcome back. I'm visiting with Dr. Morgan Bell on the consequences of not being a flexible leader. Yeah, that I think that's powerful. And I don't know that I've ever thought of as a leader of building that flexibility in, but I think about the leaders that I've had that have been extremely flexible with me and I've been very appreciative of that, you know, because stuff does, you know, life does happen, right?
Yeah.
So what has been the benefit to you for being flexible?
I think you get, like I said, I think you get to see more people succeed mm-hmm. when you're flexible. And honestly, as a professor, told people one of the misconceptions is that you want all your students to fail.
Mm.
You don't. You like, I genuinely like want all my students to do great.
Mm-hmm.
I want them all to do amazing in the class, to learn as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So I think flexibility helps achieve that goal because they'll give more students the opportunity to succeed.
Well, that's a great point. Are there any drawbacks that you see to flexibility?
Yeah, some of the ones we've talked about, fairness, I think is really difficult. And yeah, really just, I think in my academia world, it's kind of preparing students for their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine in like other settings, there are real deadlines that you have to make when you're ordering inventory or you have a marketing campaign that needs to go out on a specific day. So like at some point, too much flexibility is really just going to stop productivity, right? So I think there has to be like a balance between those.
How do you work as far as do you need those deadlines pressing on you, or do you need to have it kind of open-ended? What's kind of your, you know, what's your work style personality with regard to that?
That's an awesome question, because I love that you're acknowledging that everyone's very different, because some people can be very open-ended and some people need hard deadlines. And if, for example, me and my advisor work fairly open-endedly. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, I had a lot of life things happening, having kids, and we were flexible, and I would get stressed out and she would say, have I ever put a deadline on when this paper needs to be submitted? Like, no, I haven't, you know, mm-hmm. The goal is just to make our research the best that it can be, not get it a certain time. But in contrast, and hopefully this isn't throwing him under the bus, my husband also did his PhD and he had a very different style. Like, it was, he needed deadlines, mm-hmm. and that would help him like get to the point, especially because he's kind of a perfectionist, right? So I think in those situations, deadlines are actually really ideal, because you can spend too long perfecting mm-hmm. it and never say it's enough.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it does really depend on the person. And like I said, for me, it's more open-ended because I naturally stress and push myself a lot. Mm-hmm. So deadlines can sometimes feel like constant failure.
Uh-huh.
And my advisor, I mean, obviously she worked closely with me for 5 years, and after observing my personality, mm-hmm. kind of gave the advice that she suggested, not putting mm-hmm. too many deadlines, mm-hmm. or I'm just not going to enjoy my career. And luckily I'm in a career where I can be flexible and I can do that. Like, not everyone can, but in academia, like, I'll choose when I submit my research papers. So I have some control over that.
That's great. You know, you brought out, you have made an implicit point there that was really powerful, in that, yeah, I believe that a great leader, as they look at their team members, finds out and spends time and understanding the style of their individual team members. I mean, granted, you have to have a kind of a baseline of, you know, this is our principles, our guiding principles, if you will.
Yeah.
But understanding how people work and how to bring out the best work in individuals.
Yeah, definitely. I've gotten advice about raising kids. It's like, you're not going to raise all your kids the same. Uh-huh. And like, no two people are exactly the same. And so I think flexibility comes in there as well. Like, just like you're saying, recognizing people's differences and allowing them to grow from where they are. That's another thing that my advisor was just like such an amazing example of. She even implemented it in her PhD seminar. She created this flexible grading schedule. Uh-huh. And you could choose your assignments and you like chose your grading scheme. I mean, granted, we're all PhD students, so it's, you know, fairly high level.
Sure.
But her goal was for each person to grow from where they are, mm-hmm. rather than having this one bar mm-hmm. that everybody has to meet.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, I can see why you really look up to that individual. That's really cool. So how can you develop this trait of flexibility? And perhaps you could give us maybe three tips or three insights.
Yeah, for sure. One of the first things that comes to mind is deep breaths and meditating. Okay. Because I will actually have a lot of moments where you get that initial news, like whether it's for yourself or maybe it's for a student or a colleague, where there's some situation and you're going to have to be flexible. I feel like the first step is maybe just some meditation to like calm yourself and realize that, you know, we can still work through this. We can do whatever we need to do. And then, like I mentioned before, I think planning ahead helps a ton, building flexibility mm-hmm. into your schedule. If you have every moment scheduled, like, you're going to be disappointed constantly because, like we said, life happens. Mm-hmm. So if you build in some flexibility, I think it helps a ton. And then also communication mm-hmm. is the other thing. I think flexibility doesn't work at all without communication, mm-hmm. and especially between, you know, you and your colleagues or students or whoever it is, clear communication.
Let me ask you, what you feel is clear communication? How do you feel, you know, an appropriate way to communicate, or what is your insight with regard to communicating effectively?
Yeah, in my classroom, one example of this would be when I'm presenting the syllabus, you know, I might explain, these are the homework assignments, and like, there's flexibility here, right? Like, there's makeup assignments, and then like, they have a class project. You can't miss a class project deadline. Do not miss a class project deadline. And making that really clear to the students and helping them then prioritize, which I imagine it could be kind of similar. I haven't really worked in industry. Like I said, I've been at school forever.
Yeah.
But so in that situation, like as a boss, if you're colleague doesn't understand what the priorities are, then they don't know where the flexibility mm-hmm. goes.
Sure.
And then they might put it in the wrong spot and everyone's upset. Versus if you can communicate what the priorities are, then people know where they can put their flexibility.
That's a great point. Okay, so Morgan, or Dr. Bell, what keeps you motivated?
I really love to learn. I think that's why someone just keeps going to school, I guess. It's because I just love learning. And that's why I love to do research, because you just constantly get to learn more about the world. And I really love then, you know, using that to also teach others, to teach my students, helping them grow. And of course, like we mentioned, my girls motivate me so much. And I just know that even though it's so difficult being a working mom, which is a whole nother topic.
Sure.
I know that there's like a lot of great examples and lessons I can teach them through that.
That's awesome. That's great. So have you ever been interrupted? And if so, how did you overcome that interruption?
So I did have one class that was a little bit difficult, and I was interrupted during class by a group of students who were sitting in the back, and they just started talking, and students were presenting projects, and they were just talking, getting louder and louder, till I couldn't even hear the people presenting. So I was pretty upset, and actually my personality is not to do anything. I typically don't do anything, but in this situation, I did feel like it was an opportunity in leadership to like get some respect and get some respect as a woman professor, because I think it's a lot harder to have that respect. And so I did just stand up and told the class that they needed to be quiet, and if they didn't want to listen to the presentations, that they should just leave, because, you know, there's no point in being there if you don't want to be there.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. And sometimes you do. You really have to speak out, and you just have to, you know, lay it on the line. So if any of our folks listening or viewing would like to connect with you, I guess first question is, are you willing? And then second, how would you like them to do that?
Yeah, for sure. Email would probably be the best. My email is morgan.bale@byu.edu. So yeah, if you want to connect at all, I love especially talking to other working women and working moms and getting to hear their experiences too.
You know what? I'm going to ask you one last question. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one last question. Given what you know now, what do you wish you'd known as you started on this journey?
What I wish I knew is that you can't have it all. So I've talked with my mom about this. I talked with another fellow professor recently about this. There is no having it all, especially in regards of like motherhood and working. So just between trying to balance family and working life, I thought that I could do both in a way that just wasn't possible. And I think just realizing that there's going to have to be sacrifices made, and always making sure that you're okay with those sacrifices. I've talked with my husband a lot about this, because if at any point you realize that you're making sacrifices that you didn't choose or didn't intend, that's not okay. So thoughtful, intended sacrifices, I guess.
That's great. That's really powerful. So thank you again. It's been so much fun, Morgan, catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I love visiting with Morgan and hearing her experiences and her suggestions with regard to and tips on how to become more flexible and how important flexibility is and building that flexibility into your life and your work. How key that is. So much fun to catch up with Morgan today. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, we'd love for you to do that and check us out on Facebook for our Facebook group. And then remind you that you have strengths waiting to uncover, possibilities to realize, so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Take care, everyone.